I feel like God wants to deal with us this morning. Amen. Amen. Jonah chapter number 1. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." That's one of the things I want us to look at, is he flew from the presence of the Lord. "And he went down to Joppa and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Says it again right there, from the presence of the Lord. In verse 4 it says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Amen. You can flip there if you want. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter number 13. I'm just going to be reading two verses of scripture here. 1 Samuel 13, verse 13 says, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Amen. You don't have to turn this. One more quick verse, Luke 22 and verse 42. This is my favorite verse of all time in the Bible. It says, "Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. It says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Amen. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. You can put your Bibles down. And for a short little period of time on this Sunday morning, I want to preach to you about the battle of the wills. The battle of the wills. Amen. Can you raise your hands and just ask God to touch us one more time here as we jump into this part of the service? God, I pray that you would open your heart, minister with you like we heard this morning. God, make my heart a ground that you can accept, that I can accept the word. Amen, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. This is not in my notes what I'm going to start off by saying, but I want to say that God created each and every single one of us in this building different. There is not one person in this building that is exactly alike, although twins are pretty close. Twins is probably the closest you'll ever get. However, even though you might be a twin, you are still not exactly alike. There's different personalities. A lot of people might can tell, but you look different in certain sorts of ways, and there is a difference. And as I go into this message, the reason I'm saying this is I want us to focus on ourselves, if you would. I'm not trying to say we need to be selfish or anything, but for this message in particular, I feel like God wants to deal with individuals, if you would. You're not going through the same thing as your brother or sister across the aisle is going through. You're going through your own battles. You're struggling with your own temptations. Whatever is your own, that's you. It's not like anybody else. How you deal with it and how you handle it is not like anybody else. And God has to deal with you about your situation, if you will. specifically, yes, he can deal with the pastor and ministers, and but as pastor was already preaching this morning, we have to accept what God is dealing with us. I'm already jumping ahead, but we've got to make sure that we can accept what God wants to do with our lives. Amen. Amen. I'm not here to preach anything new. There's nothing very fancy, but I'm preaching about the battle of the wills. Each and every single person in this building has your own will, what you want to do. You have what you think your future entails us, what you want. But again, I'm jumping very ahead, but I just simply want to ask the question, does your personal will line up with what God's will is for you in your life? There's nothing more important in this world than what God wants to do in your life. There's no amount of money that is more important than what God wants to do in your life. There's no girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. You put it there. There is nothing that is more important than what God wants to do in your life. Amen, amen. We go back and we say we serve a great God. The Bible talks about his greatness. Psalms 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Amen. From the beginning of time, we can see the greatness of God and how he uses just his voice to create the earth, how he can bring light and darkness to the earth with just the power of his voice. We see how he can create the land and separate land from waters with just the power of his voice. Amen. We can see how he creates the fish and all the animals and sea creatures with the power of his voice. But there's one place where he stopped and took his own time in creation. And that's when it came to you and to me and to mankind. God didn't simply just drop down and say, even though he could be like, let there be man, and he's not good to be alone, let there be a woman. But God came down and began to spend his time on us. The Bible says he created us in his own image. That shows a God who really cares about humanity. Shows a God who really loves us and wants to take time with his creation. Yes, he could have done everything with his voice, but there's something special when God came down and created mankind. Amen. Amen. God is great. Job 37:5 says, "God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend." And Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Amen. God shows us his greatness. I don't want to linger on this. I feel God's trying to get somewhere. So I want to point out that even as great as our God is, he will never force his greatness upon us. Oh, my God, yes, I went through some of them. My God can cause the children of Israel to walk on dry land when there should be a sea in the way. And his greatness just causes the waters to part. Oh, he can cause the plagues to come on Egypt and just make a way for the children of Israel to leave. And you can see his way. He just keeps on showing off his greatness by causing the children of Israel to win battle after battle. Oh, but he never forced his greatness upon them. When they wanted to turn and go to their golden images, God let them and never strong-armed them into staying with him. He will never force his greatness upon you. In Jesus' name. I still believe that my God is this miracle-working God. I'm not here to just just hammer and preach on faith, because I believe we all believe that he can still do the supernatural. I believe God can still heal any kind of disease. I believe he can just take away any problem, any pain, or anything you might be dealing with. That is because we serve a great God. It is the greatness of God that causes him to have all power. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. With that, I know you believe in the greatness of God. The Bible says, I am the Lord and I change not. It also says, is he God that he can lie? He is not a liar. It is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, that simply means God's greatness still exists to this day. It still exists with every single one of us in this generation. It doesn't matter. We have not seen the last miracle. The New Testament was not the end. But there are still miracles that can happen in this day because his greatness continues. Jesus' name. Even as exciting as that is, that's not the main reason that I came to preach. I came to preach upon that he will not force that greatness upon you. Even though we have experienced the greatness of God and we might want our miracles, God's not going to force a miracle upon you. If you want a miracle, you've got to do something about it. You've got to step out. If you have something going on with your job, God's not just going to be like, oh, let me step in real quick and take care of this, even though there are times he might. But so there's also times when God just wants to say, I want to see how long they think they can do it in their own will. I want to see how long they can keep it in their hands before they finally cry out to me and ask me to intervene and step in. It's my will to do something for you. You're my beloved. I spent time. I took time to create you. But I just want you to want me to do something. I want you to get in my will. If you're having trouble, step out and pray to God. Step out and trust God. Let the faith blossom a little bit. Say, God, I can't do this without you anymore. Name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would say it's eventually, I'm preaching to myself too here this morning, but I want to say that in the times when we might struggle with our relationship with God, it's probably because we're trying to have our own will. I feel this is something I struggled with mightily when I was younger. I still even do, is I desire my will so much that sometimes it can be hard to see that God's will might be detouring us somewhere else. Our will is not more important than what God wants to do in our life. Dare I even say God's will for this church? If there is revival in the line for this church, and it's set on the sights and pastors trying to pull us towards revival, yet we still struggle with some of the things pastor is teaching, dare I say we're going against the will of God. That's why we've got to make sure we line ourselves up with our pastor. He is the watchman on the wall. He is the shepherd. He sees what's coming. He knows what's coming. And we've got to beware and trust our pastor. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As I point here, it is not his will that anybody should perish. This simply tells me that it is the will of God that all should come to Jesus, that all should be saved. Will it happen? No, it probably won't. It says, broad is the way, many there be that find it, but narrow is the gate and few there be. Not everybody is going to find it, but it is God's will. And it just comes simply to us finding God's will. Pastors preached it over and over. God's will is not a mystery. If it is his will for you to know, he's going to demonstrate it to you. He's going to show it to you. It is not a secret. Can we lift our hands and love him right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah. This brings us to our text in 1 Samuel 13. It says, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. We know at some point in time that Saul was anointed to be king by Samuel. Saul was the chosen one by God to lead the children of Israel. But obviously we see at some point and some time, it is very possible to remove yourself from the anointing and the will of God. Saul removed himself and God said, your kingdom ends right now. Your kingdom will not continue. There is someone else. This is why it is so important to be connected in church. This is why it is so important to be tuned in with your pastor. This is why it is important when God begins to talk to us, we start to line ourselves up. You don't know where you can end. You don't know where you might start to drift off to. You've got to stay lined up with God. Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter number 8, verse 36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It is not God's will for you to be lost. It is not God's will for you to become so rich and to become a millionaire and lose your own soul. It's not God's will for you to get rich and just be increased with goods and in need of nothing, yet you die lost. You'd be better off barely making anything and making it by and being saved in the house of God. Amen. This is why I'm preaching for young people today. There's no college education that's more important than being saved. There's no girlfriend that's more important than being saved. There's nothing. If it bothers you, just get it out of the way. You are at your most defining time in your life, and you've got to get a hold of the truth. Oh, come on. It's really easy to be persuaded by others. It's really easy to try to follow the crowd. But what's going to set you apart is when you fall in love with the will of God, when you truly get a hold of what he has for your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It'd be better off if you have plans. Write your plans off if you feel they're going to keep you out of church. I understand having to go to work and stuff. I'm not preaching on that. But if you willingly and knowingly take jobs where you're going to be out of church 90% of the time, something's wrong. It's God's will for you to be here. Your soul ain't worth that job. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, I know some of us are also getting older in the youth years. Might be, will I ever find a wife? Will I ever find a spouse? There's no spouse that is worth you rushing into trying to get married. They can easily pull you out of the church. They can easily pull you lower than what you are in church. I can reach here, but if someone's consistently pulling us down, it can affect your soul for eternity. We've got to find the will of God. We've got to find the will of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can go look at Jonah. I kind of want to just use my imagination a little bit, but if God is coming to Jonah, obviously at some point in some time in Jonah's life, he had a relationship with God. If you long to go deeper in a walk with God, it's not just going to hit you overnight. You can't continue to do what you've always done and expect God to deepen your relationship with Him. There's got to be more between you and God. There's got to be prayer rooms that come between you and God. There's got to be Bible readings that come between you and God. Oh, it is super easy to want entertainment because in this generation, it's hard to keep our attention, right? We want to keep doing something, and maybe prayer might sound a little bit boring on our own time when others aren't there. But that's when you're going to really find the mind of God for your life. Oh, that's when you're really going to make the connection is in that secret prayer room between you and God. Oh God, I wonder if anybody desires that here this morning. It's got to be more. Oh, we can say, yes, preach, that's a good message. But I want to know, is your ground really prepared for it? Are you really taking in God wanting to use me more? In Jesus' name. This is kind of where I want to preach to me a bit too. And that's, it is, as a family, it is just as equal and important to find the will of God and to stay in the will of God. Staying in the will of God. Just the other day, my wife told me, she's like, I'm glad you're getting a new job because I feel like every time we come to Tuesday night prayer, I hardly don't get to pray. I'm just watching the boys, and I just looked at her. I was like, yes, but you know what's important is even though they might be 2 years old, they're seeing that church is most important. Now when the doors are open, mama's going to be taking them to prayer. When every time there's revival, we're going to church. There's no option. We're going to church. That is the will of God. What would I be teaching my kids if we're having church and I'm not here? I'm showing them the world is more important. This has got to be what we train up our kids in. This goes for us adults too. If I just focus on a degree and want to make six-digit figures and this is it, but my two boys and daughters' lives, souls are lost. What did I really accomplish? Nothing, because my kids are going to hell. This is what we've got to focus on as a family. Staying in the will of God.
All right.
In Jesus' name. I'm almost done. I want to say one more thing. This is why it's important as young people, when we start hitting that teenage years of life, your most defining moment of your life is you better make sure that you personally are in love with God. Because there's coming an age when you're going to be able to move out from daddy's protection. There's coming an age when you're not going to have to live at home anymore. Or God forbid, there is a time when your parents might leave the church, and it's up to you to make a decision. Are you going to follow or are you going to stay in church? It is up to you. And oh my God, it's up to you. And falling in love with this way. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, can we pray right now? I felt that strong. It doesn't matter what your relatives do. It doesn't matter anything. What matters is that you personally are in the will of God. That despite what my parents might do, despite what my grandparents might do or anybody, I am in the will of God. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, we can all stand here this morning. We go back to our text and we look at Jonah. And the Bible says God came calling for Jonah. He came calling. He's like, Jonah, go preach. Showing and signifying there was a relationship between Jonah and God. But something got in Jonah's heart. Because then the next verse it says, Jonah ran from the presence of God. He ran from the presence of God. I wonder if as we start praying here this morning, I feel that God has been trying to get a hold of some people's lives. I really feel that God has been tugging on someone's heart. I'm not saying that you're being called to preach. I don't know what God might be calling you for. But what I am saying is somebody is running from the will of God. Your priorities are more over God's priorities. And God's trying to come and just let you know, hey, I see you're running. I want you to know I'm still calling for you. I'm still calling for you, young person. The history of this city can depend upon it. The future of this city depends upon you. Oh, that's it. Can we pray? Oh, I'm going to read you one more verse as we're all praying. Matthew chapter number 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But you've got to put the kingdom of God first. I'm telling you, that is the will of God, is that he is first in your lives.